So there's a popular fasting schedule. A lot of people do it, and a lot of people ask me questions about it. But this particular fasting schedule, I don't think is the best fit for most people. And this is based on my own experience, based on the people I've worked with, and also based on the opinions of various experts, others who have a lot of experience, like Megan Ramos, who was on my podcast, Dr. Jason Fung, that she works with, Dr. Ken Ford, who's the host of the STEM Talk podcast and also came on my podcast, and others. For various reasons, I and they would say this is probably not the best fit, and yet tons of people do it. And sometimes they have problems when they do it. So in this video, I'm going to share three reasons why this particular schedule, which I'll mention in a moment, is probably not the best fit for most people. And I'll give you a couple of alternatives that may be better depending on your situation. So if you listen to this whole video and then you say, oh, but it's still a good fit for me, okay, fine. Maybe it is, because everybody's different. Then carry on if that's the case. But there's definitely some important things you should know about it before you continue. By the way, if you're new here, I'm Ben. I'm a PA, and I share tips and strategies about health and nutrition and other related things. So what do you know about intermittent fasting? Well, the basic idea is shortening your eating window each day, right? So if a normal person, quote normal, eats all day long, that's 16 hours. But you could cut that in half and only eat during an 8-hour eating window. And then your overnight fast would be 16 hours, so you'd kind of flip-flop the usual way that people do things. But what if you take that 8-hour eating window and you keep shrinking it? So if a little bit of fasting is good, maybe a lot is better on a daily basis. That would be kind of the idea. If you keep shrinking it until it's almost not there, and then you would call it one meal a day. One meal a day. And the acronym for that is OMAD or OMAD. So I'm talking about OMAD. So a lot of people do OMAD, and they do it pretty consistently most days, perhaps. It seems like they usually eat either in the afternoon or the early evening in most cases when they do this one meal a day approach. So now I'm going to share three reasons why I don't think OMAD is a good fit for most people. For like 80%+ of people, it's not really the best approach to intermittent fasting. And here's why. So the first reason why I don't think OMAD is ideal is weight loss. Weight loss, I don't think weight loss should be your main goal with fasting, but I think most people that I talk to, they do bring it up as their main goal. So it's not always a healthy approach for various reasons. I've explained that on a different video. But if your goal is weight loss, OMAD's probably not ideal for you. And here's why. Just like when people do a daily calorie restriction diet where they eat the same amount of food day after day after day, in other words, if you normally eat 3,000 calories and you cut that in half and now you're only eating 1,500 calories, if you're doing this calorie restriction diet, if you do that the same every day, then after a while, of course, your metabolism has to slow down. Because if you didn't, what would happen if it didn't slow down? You would die of starvation. Think about it. If your body's burning about 3,000 calories a day and you're eating 3,000 calories a day and then you cut it down to 1,500, after a while, you would die of starvation if your body continued to burn 3,000 calories a day. Just simple logic there. So, of course, your body's going to make a bunch of adjustments when you cut your calories, and one of them is slowing down the metabolism after a while if you're doing the same thing day after day after day after day after day. And so that's what happens with calorie restriction diets, and that's why they usually don't work in the long run, and they have a bunch of negative side effects, like low energy, feeling crappy, etc., and rebounding, having the weight come back when the person inevitably quits in most cases. So the thing about OMAD is if you're trying to lose weight, you'll probably lose weight at first, but then after a while, you'll kind of have the same problem that people have on a calorie restriction diet, at least to some extent. And that is that if you do it the same way day after day after day after day, then your body has to make an adjustment, has to adapt so that you don't starve to death. And so very possibly what's going to happen on OMAD is that your weight loss will plateau after some period of time, several days or some weeks or whatever. You'll probably plateau, and you may have unwittingly slowed down your metabolism a bit because if you're eating that one meal a day and you end up not eating that much energy per day, your body's going to be like, well, we better slow down the metabolism. So that is the first problem with OMAD, and it's relevant to the number one goal that most people bring up when they talk about why they're fasting. So when it comes to weight loss, OMAD is more geared towards maintenance. It may be a good fit for some people who are kind of in maintenance or trying to maintain weight loss, as opposed to someone who's actively trying to reduce body fat or lose weight. So the second reason OMAD is not ideal for most people is protein and muscle maintenance. Protein and muscle maintenance. What do I mean by that? Well, especially as we age or as you age, it's especially important to get enough protein, a lot more than most people think. Kind of the ideal protein intake, a lot of people debate what it is, but probably falls somewhere around 100 to 150 grams of protein per day for most people, or at least in that ballpark. But most people are eating a lot less than that, like maybe half that much. And so if you're eating just one meal a day, you're going to have a hard time getting enough protein on a consistent basis. And why does that matter? Because one of the biggest diseases of aging has this funny name, sarcopenia. What is that? It means small muscles. It means your muscles are wasting away as you age if you just kind of go about your business and don't do anything about it. So sarcopenia, you've all seen the elderly people who get weak, frail, can't take care of themselves, and they're prone to falling down. You know, every time I work in the ER, it seems I run into those kind of cases. Just the other day, I think it seems like I had back-to-back. My first patient was one who was staying in a nursing home. She was very frail, and she had fallen down yet again. She had frequent falls. You know, we see that kind of stuff all the time, and that's the result of sarcopenia. So if you're doing one meal a day, you might be able to get a pretty high amount of protein into your body during that one meal, but you got to work extra hard to do it, and most people are not going to accomplish that. So if you're one of those people who is at risk of losing your strength, becoming more frail, especially as you age, it's not ideal to do OMAD because you're going to have a hard time getting enough protein. All right, so I'm going to give you one more reason why OMAD may not be a good fit for most people, and then I'll share two alternative fasting regimens that are probably a better fit for the majority of people. One or the other of these is probably a better fit for most people. By the way, if up to this point you're getting any value from this video, go ahead and hit the like button. Apparently it helps with the algorithm, so if you'd do me that favor. All right, so one other reason why OMAD is not such a great fit for most people is just convenience. If you're trying to do just one meal a day every day, it's kind of inconvenient if you're like wanting to go out for dinner with people or having breakfast with your family, or just in terms of the flexibility, it's a little bit less flexible. Now, you could argue the opposite. You could argue it's convenient because you save time every day and that you can still go out to eat with your friends and have that one meal. But if you're restricted to just one meal every day, then it can be kind of a hassle, right? It can be kind of difficult to participate in certain events or holiday events or whatever. So that's something else to consider. But the first two reasons were more health-related and more related to your goals with intermittent fasting. So if OMAD is not the ideal fasting regimen, not the ideal fasting schedule for the majority of people, then what would be a better approach? Well, I'm going to share two approaches. So kind of depending on your situation, I'll kind of divide it into two groups, two approaches that are probably a better fit for most people. And one of these is kind of what I'm doing nowadays. All right. So let's take one scenario. Let's talk about someone who's very obese, has a ton of extra body fat, and they have type 2 diabetes, so they have high blood sugar, high insulin. And so this is a lot of the people out there that are trying to use fasting to improve their health, and that's great because you can really make a big difference with fasting. So the schedule that perhaps works the best for those people in that scenario with a lot of extra body fat, high blood sugar, all that, would be alternate day fasting, where two or three, usually 3 days a week, you just fast the whole day or close to the whole day, or you tweak it a little bit just to kind of fit it into your schedule. But you do that like 3 days a week. And so called alternate day fasting because you're kind of fasting every other day, but it doesn't have to literally be every other day. It could be like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or something slightly different that you come up with. But that regimen has been shown to be very effective for improving diabetes and reducing body fat. For example, when Megan Ramos was on my podcast a while back, She works with Dr. Jason Fung. They treat lots of patients with fasting or help them through fasting. And they have basically been able to observe that people doing this regimen usually reverse their diabetes within about 6 months and reduce body fat a ton. So that's kind of one big group of people where alternate day fasting is probably a good fit and a better fit than just doing the one meal a day. Because you're going to also kind of turn around your insulin resistance and clear up your fatty liver and stuff like that more quickly, I think, on alternate day fasting than one meal a day. Another group of people and another fasting schedule that might be a good option for people that kind of fall into this group would be people who don't have a ton of extra body fat. Maybe you're relatively fit. Maybe you got a little, a little extra in your midsection or whatever, and maybe you make a big deal out of it when you weigh yourself or when you look in the mirror, but you're not super obese, tons of extra body fat. Or maybe you're really lean and fit. For either of those groups, this is probably a pretty good schedule. And that would be the one that's sometimes nicknamed Eat, Stop, Eat. So what is Eat, Stop, Eat? Well, there's this guy that wrote a book, I think his name is Brad Pilon, called Eat, Stop, Eat, and he recommended fasting for 24 hours one or two times a week. So basically that was the whole thing. You just do a 24-hour fast once or twice a week. Now, why is that a good fit for someone who doesn't have a ton of extra body fat? Well, most days of the week, you can still make a point of getting plenty of protein in your diet. You can work out and eat your high-protein meal and do all that stuff to maintain your strength. And at least that one time a week, you give your body a longer break from food. You get all the various benefits that come with that 24-hour fast. And if you need it, maybe add that second time per week and do the 24-hour fast. And then optionally, on the other days, you could do some time-restricted eating. You could kind of shorten your eating window a little bit, but not like all the way, and that sort of thing. So that's Eat, Stop, Eat, that, or just call it a 24-hour fast once or twice a week. And that, I think, is a good fit for a lot of people who don't need to lose tons of weight, but they want to get some benefits from fasting. So doing that 24-hour fast on a regular basis, possibly once a week, if you're like super fit and you don't want to do it that often, you could do it every other week, whatever. But that 24-hour fast every so often would be a good fit for a lot of those other people that fall into this category. All right, so if it wasn't super obvious, that came from a video that I shared a while back, but I thought it was useful enough that I wanted to share it here also on the podcast, and hopefully it'll be helpful for you. And by the way, if you're kind of a beginner with intermittent fasting, I've mentioned this before, but I have a checklist that kind of gives you a lot of tips and things to be aware of as you're starting, so you'll be more likely to be successful. And you can find that checklist at my website, fastingwell.com/checklist. And if you want even more, kind of more help or more handholding, as you might put it, to kind of walk you through exactly how to start with intermittent fasting, I have a quick start guide that I sell, not very expensively, but it's a quick start guide that you can use to help you get started from day one, and it walks you through the first 6 weeks of intermittent fasting. So you can find that. Also, go to my website, fastingwell.com/quick, and I'll put links to both of those below as well, so you can find that stuff there. All right, so thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Fasting Well podcast. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.